trust. The scripture says Jesus told this story to people who trusted in themselves for their righteousness. Now, I'm sure all of us would immediately think, oh, that's not where my trust is. We know we're better than that. Oops, that's the wrong sermon title. That one was last week. This one is, can you worship a God you don't trust? Anyway, most of us know enough to, at least in church, vocally say that we trust in Jesus for our salvation, for our righteousness. But one of the things that I find, and I think that if you read the Bible carefully, you'll see it happens over and over and over again throughout the Bible, that people tend to really trust God when they are feeling vulnerable and powerless, when they have nothing to lose, which is part of the problem in a congregation like this that is filled with amazingly gifted and intelligent people with lots of resources at their disposal. Because while we say that we trust God, a lot of times we don't really know how to translate that into our everyday lives. A lot of times we really trust in our own selves, in our wisdom, and our good ideas and our good plans. In the world today, most people are really, really, really busy. And most people don't have a lot of time to spend on things that seem to be irrelevant to life. So it's really important to our life as a congregation that we are very clear about where our trust is and how we use that on a daily basis. Every week, new stories about how we stepped out in faith and trusted God and where that led us. Trust is about hoped for gain, whether it's emotional trust or logical trust. We put something out thinking that in the future we will get a return. We trust somebody when they borrow the money, trusting they'll return it, that they'll pay us back like they said they would. Or we trust when we loaned our tools to our neighbor that they're going to bring the tools back. We trust when we tell a secret to a friend that we're going to find some kind of support and they're not going to use that as an opportunity to bring us down. There's a lot of ways that we trust, but all of it in part involves a hoped for gain in the future. So for us as Christians, so many times our hoped for gain is actually like a week or 2 weeks out. We're very clear that our ultimate gain is eternal life. That's our ultimate gain. But we want the payoff a lot sooner than that. Most of us aren't excited to put our trust in God, hoping that we're not going to experience anything until we're dead. And then we'll find eternal life. Most of us are hoping we're going to have those blessings a lot sooner than that. That we put the trust out and God was faithful today. And we experience that blessing today. And as a matter of fact, it kind of works that way. But what if it didn't? It's really hard to keep risking when the ultimate reward is not going to be paid off until you're dead. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. Most of us aren't in a situation where that's where we're looking. Most of us are looking a little bit shorter term than that. We want to see the payoff a little bit sooner than that. I read a statement once in a commentary, and I thought it was wonderful. The statement was, if you were put on trial today, Well, it's actually a question. If you were put on trial today for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? Now, that came in the midst of the study of Acts, when people first started to be martyred. And thinking back through Christian history, most of the martyrs aren't actually recorded in the Bible. That's through other historic sources. We hear about the burning of Christians and the Christians in the arena and such. But if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict? And so I want us to think about that in holding the word trust right next to us as we're doing that. Because how do we show we have trust in God? What is it that we do that we show that has trust in God? Because the part about trusting God is that we take a risk with a hope for return in the future. We take a risk with a hope for return in the future. So I want to think a little bit about what kind of evidences we have in our life for things that might be committed to. For example, how many people in here were ever in some kind of sport growing up, or high school or something, that were in a, participated in a sport? We have quite a number of people who did a sport. Okay, so I did track. I've mentioned this before. I did track, and the evidence that I was actually committed to track, if I had cool and fancy shoes with little spikies on them, would that show that I was dedicated to track? No, right? No, that doesn't do it. If I had the really cool jersey with my school's name on it, would that show I was dedicated to track? No. No, because you can put on shoes and you can put on a jersey and never really do anything, right? Okay, so if I got up every morning and I did my stretches and I showed up for practice on a daily basis and I put out some effort, would that indicate that I was dedicated to track? That would be a much better indicator, right? The year before I went to seminary, I was trying to do a lot of things in California that I thought when I got to the East Coast, people might have heard of, and they'd say, did you ever do this? And I'd say no, and they'd go, what? So I was like trying to do all the things like tourists do, so that when I got there, I'd go, oh yeah, I've been there, done that. So I did the Beta Breakers, Anybody here done the Beta Breakers?
I watched it.
Yeah, watched it. So the Beta Breakers, how many people here ever read Mad Magazine? Okay, lots of that. Okay, and so you remember Alfred E. Newman and his thing, What Me Worry, right? What Me Worry? Okay, so I registered for the Beta Breakers with my friend, and it, you know, you put all your information in there, and then it has this line about, you know, I train daily, I train weekly, and then it has the box to check, what, me train? And at that point in my life, that's the box I'm checking. Because the Beta Breakers, the serious runners get seated and they're put at the front and they take off. And the rest of us are there for the party. You don't run in the Beta Breakers. Most people run in the Beta Breakers for the party. It's all about the fun. I went to San Francisco about a year and a half ago with my friend who had been training with the team in training, the people that raise money to battle leukemia. To research that. Let me tell you, it was a very different feel going to get ready for that. Those people have been running and running and running for months, building up the miles. She was going to be running 13.1, right? Half marathon she was doing, 13.1 miles. And people there, they had a big pavilion and they had lots of vendors, but it wasn't the Beta Breakers. It wasn't people showing up in funky costumes and all their friends are there and you know, it's about the party for the Beta Breakers. We weren't serious runners. Now, I will tell you that I actually almost ran the entire Beta Breakers race. I was actually kind of stunned when that happened. I did not think that was going up and down the hills in San Francisco. I didn't think that was going to happen. But there were so many people that we weren't moving that quickly, so it wasn't all that hard. For those of us who weren't seated, we heard, you know, you're like honestly pressed in like this in the street, and I heard the gun go off, and everybody went like this. And then we started to move a little bit, and my friend and I are like, oh, look, they're giving out baseball hats. So we're trying to move sideways over to where the baseball hats are. And yeah, and they have these little things that tell you how fast you're moving, about every half mile or so. And the first half mile took 15 minutes. Because they're like this, trying to get started. After a while, it spread out a little bit. But we're having so much fun looking at the centipedes. You have to have 10 people with a theme. And the first one has, or everybody, I guess, has to have some kind of antenna, but the last one has to have a stinger. This is the rules for the centipede. And so there was the Dolly Parton centipede, which was hilarious. Everybody wearing their gold shirts and extra socks. And then there was a volleyball where they were carrying, the first person had a net, and the back had the net, and the people were trying to play volleyball over the net. And there was the most amazing one was, I'm not lying about this. I thought, these people are nuts. It was a platform, a wooden platform with a couch on it that was hollowed out, and two paper mache giant potatoes sitting there with their feet crossed up on a coffee table with a television. And the people were taking turns carrying the platform and ducking up under the potatoes so their face was... And they're running up and down the hills. I thought, you are nuts. You are totally nuts. It's hard enough just to run without trying to carry a platform with a couch and a TV on it. Yeah, it's all about the party. It's not about making time on that one, right? Right. How would people know that we trust God? What evidence do we have that we stepped out and took a risk for Jesus this week? How would they know that we trust? We're not really that good at actually taking risks. We get kind of comfortable and we kind of like how it's going along. And a lot of times we don't risk. We don't take that risk. We don't live out the riskiness of actually being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Most of the teachings of Jesus are counterintuitive, even to this day, they're counterintuitive. In the day when Jesus was walking around talking face to face to people, they were really radically counterintuitive. But even today, as Jesus' teachings to love your enemies and to pray for those who persecute you, as a nation, we do this backed up with our bombs, right? How many people here, how many people here like VeggieTales? You've ever seen VeggieTales? Did you see, some people have never seen it. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. They say Sunday morning values with Saturday morning fun, right? It's that's their hope. And so there's the one where they're talking, Josh and the Big Wall. Do you remember that episode? Josh and the Big Wall. So it's Joshua going to Jericho, right? And so he presents the plan that God's given him, that they're going to march around the city every day for 7 days, and then they'll blow the trumpets and the walls will fall down. And everybody's like, right. And we build a big bomb so he can blow it up, because it doesn't seem like a reasonable plan, does it? We trust in our own plans a little bit more than love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's it? That's the plan? Okay, and then the backup plan would be, after we prayed for them, then we're going to build the big bomb, right? Then we're going to have the other measures of security. We were kind of laughing in my family today as we got into the truck that we have borrowed, and one of the windows is broken, and I said, well, you know, we want to be sure and not leave anything important in the truck overnight, because really, you know, that window doesn't actually secure. And then my son said, yeah, good thing we're in a gated community, and we kind of laugh about that, because the gate is this high, so, you know, if you want something, you jump over it. I mean, I've seen, you know, people too lazy to walk around, they just go over it. Not only that, but where the gate closes, there's a gap like this, and I go through that with the dogs, because we want to get out. You know, it's a joke, the gate, but that's the illusion. We put these illusions of what's really going to keep us safe, and what we really want to protect, you We trust in ourselves, in our own schemes, our own plans. Now, I'm not trying to pretend like if you pray faithfully, you're never going to get robbed, because we know that's not true. How many people in here have ever been robbed? How many people in here have ever been robbed even when you were already a Christian? Yeah. And how many people in here made it through that? I mean, we're all still alive today, right? We think we can't make it through. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, if you had to show that you were trusting in God and that your salvation depended upon Jesus, would there be enough evidence to convict? You see, because a lot of times we say, oh, I did this or that, right? I gave to the food bank. I walked on the crop walk. I came to church regularly. I put a donation in the offering plate. There's a lot of things that we do that we can check off our list, you know? But you know what? There are people who aren't Christians who do good things. It's not just doing good things. It's not just doing good things. It's taking the risk. It's putting the shoes on and the jersey on and then getting out there and challenging yourself to do more than you knew you could do. Taking a risk for Jesus. Now, that's something people are looking for. Something that changes their life and adds to the quality of life for themselves and for everyone. When we take a risk for Jesus. Sometimes we take a risk for Jesus and it seems like it didn't go well. Have you ever had that experience? You tried something and at the end you went, oh my gosh, that was horrible. I will tell you that every preacher has done that. Every preacher has done that. And just a little secret for you, most of us have learned how to hold our tongue, because every one of us, there's a time when you sit down after the sermon at least once a year, sit down and you go, oh, I am so sorry, God, that was the lamest sermon ever in the world. And somebody will come and shake your hand and said, that was the best sermon you ever preached. Really? What did you get out of it? Because I missed the point, you know? Really? And we just hold our tongue. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. When we put our best efforts out there and we take a risk, sometimes it doesn't look like it paid off. But we can't see everything that's happening. We can't see the seeds that are being planted in the hearts of other people. Ours is not to judge the result, but to be faithful in taking a risk and putting it out there for Jesus. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, we start developing things that are habits that are genuine, and we practice spiritual disciplines that are challenging. You heard me talk before about tithing. That is a challenge for most people. Tithing is a challenge for most people. But when we tithe, we say, God, I trust you enough that you're going to provide what I need in this 90%. I'm going to make sure that you get back that 10% that you trusted into my care. That's one way. What about doing service projects? I know people sometimes work with homeless and disenfranchised, and sometimes they start to feel discouraged. You know what? It's just over and over again the same stories. I don't feel like I'm making a difference. Are you getting out there with the love of Jesus? Are you sharing the love of Jesus? Because we can't see everything that God is doing with our best efforts. You know that on the day that Jesus was crucified, all the disciples said it failed. They all said that it failed. We put it all out there for you, God, and it failed. And then 3 days later, it wasn't a failure. Not only that, Peter's, Oh my gosh, I betrayed you. I can still use you. I let you down. I can still use you. You see, each one of us, somewhere along the line, has betrayed our Lord and Savior. Each one of us has had those opportunities to say the good word and we didn't. To speak the word of forgiveness and we held our tongue. To step out and take a risk to look like that, we're weak and foolish, we're a bunch of bleeding hearts, which after all is the image of Christ himself. Each one of us has had those opportunities and missed it. So, do we quit? Do we quit? No, we go and try it again because God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances who gives to us another opportunity to prove to ourselves that we can do it. Do you know I ran track in the 9th, 10th, and 11th grade? I got out every week and ran those races. I was out every day at practice by myself. I never won a race. I never came in first. I almost came in. Oh, man, literally the last half step. I'm going for the line, and she goes, bink. I was like, yes, I'm going to win, bink. I didn't. Second was the highest I ever got. Usually was third, if I placed at all. Was it a failure? Was I a failure? No. No. I wasn't a failure. I gave it my best. I was on the relay team, and we won. The relay team won every time. Yeah, with the team, we won. By myself, second's the highest I ever got. But it wasn't a failure. It wasn't a failure. You get out there, and you give it your best, and you see what can come of it. It improved the quality of my life. It improved my overall health. It gave me a lot of wonderful memories and experiences. It wasn't a failure. It was a good thing. And every week I had new stories to share. This is how it is with Jesus. If your latest story to share about your life with Jesus happened 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago, what are you doing today? What are you doing today with Jesus? To take a risk and make a difference. Do you trust God to be with you through this and to provide what you really need, not just what you want, not what you want, but what you really need? Do you trust God? And if you don't trust God to provide what you really need, how can you worship God? How could anyone worship a God they don't trust? So if you really worship God, then you need to practice that trust every week, taking a risk, because you don't know when you're going to need to really put it all on the line. And you don't want to be practicing. You don't want to be practicing for the first time. It's much easier to trust God when you have nothing to lose. Most of us have a lot. Can we trust God to use us and our resources in powerful ways to change this world? Because that's what we want. We want to live those lives of deep meaning in which the world is transformed because we have faithfully walked with God. And we practice that through trusting and taking risks every week. Will you join me in a prayer? Loving God, sometimes it's really hard to trust you. Sometimes it's so much easier to trust what's right in front of us that we can control with our own hands, that we can comprehend with our own minds. Loving God, We ask that you would help us to trust you. We ask that you would help us to have the courage to step out and take a risk for Jesus this week, to share his love with a stranger, to challenge prejudice, to make a witness for your love and forgiveness and your holy peace that passes understanding. Loving God, we confess that sometimes we are so afraid of what can happen. Help us to trust you enough to know that you will see us through. Even if things seem to go badly, you'll see us through and restore our hope. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus, who risked everything for us, that we might know your salvation, and in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
My bitterness, O Lord, I receive.